All right. So tonight I'm going to share a vision that I had this week and then follow that with what the Lord has given me for us based on that vision and for the intercessors and for our nation. So let's start with prayer. Father God, I thank you. I thank you for the intercessors. I thank you, Father God, for our time together. I pray that you would come and you would be our teacher and that you would unpack, Holy Spirit, come and unpack this in even greater measure to us tonight. I pray that you would settle things around us, that we would hear the word of the Lord and be able to grab hold of what you're bringing and apply it to our lives and see what you're saying to us in this hour. There's something profound happening in our nation, O Lord. And it's up to the people of God to ensure that your heavenly will is done in the earth. I thank you, Father. I thank you. In your precious name, amen. All right. So I was in prayer earlier this week, and I was praying for the nation. And I had a vision of the map of the country. And there was tribulation welling up within the land. And it was, you know, just to clarify, it was a tribulation, not the tribulation. Suddenly the Lord pulled me up above the land, and I watched the land begin to vibrate. The vibrations became stronger and stronger. It seemed as though a major earthquake was brewing under the surface throughout the whole nation. The surface of the land began to crack. Then, speckled throughout the land, I saw people emerge from their homes dressed in covert attire. The Lord handed me a zoom lens, which allowed me to see clearly what was happening across the landscape. The people emerging from their homes were wearing dark clothing, hats and goggles, gloves and so on. And they looked exactly like SEAL Team 6 does when they head out on covert missions. They each had an anchor next to their homes, and they took this like rappelling clip that was previously fastened to their utility belt and quickly clipped it to the anchor. A sturdy three-strand cord began to unwind, and the earth opened just wide enough next to them for them to fit through, and they rappelled down through the crack and into the slim crevice in the earth. Again, the Lord drew my attention to the whole of the nation, and I could see the same event occurring state by state. They landed on a tectonic plate next to a cord that had become unhooked from the adjacent plate. They moved quickly, grabbing the cord and reaching over to the plate, which was moving away, and hooked it in place. In some areas, even a third plate needed to be reattached. Every cord used was a three-strand cord. They looked up, grabbed another cord, and quickly returned to the surface. The crevice closed up. The earth settled and entered into peace, almost as though it had been comforted by the work that they had done. Then the warriors stepped forward to enter their homes. As they did, they looked back at the Lord, and he smiled and he nodded his approval. They entered their homes and slowly began to shut the door, and as they did, they pulled back their dark hoods. And what I saw shocked me. These were not highly trained SEAL Team Sixers in their mid-20s. These were men and women from 30 to 90 years of age. The entire event took seconds and occurred while those in the house slept on. And I knew that what I was witnessing was the work of strategically placed intercessors, highly trained overcomers throughout the land. The three-strand cord that they hooked into the tectonic plate seemed to really stand out to me, and it became the subject of my prayers over the course of the next several days. And so I'm going to talk about those things tonight. As I prayed over this, the Lord began to unpack several key things. First was a tribulation in the nation. Second was those overcomers that had rappelled down into the earth. And third was the three-strand cord. So I want to start first by defining types of tribulation. And I think it's important that we do this because when you hear tribulation, people, they sometimes they just freak out. Like you're saying, oh, we're in the tribulation. That is not the case. When you have wars and rumors of wars, it seems to heighten that even more. And so I don't want anyone to be under the misconception that I'm saying we're in the Great Tribulation, okay? I think it's important to differentiate that. As a side note, we can't be afraid of the tribulation because the tribulation, the Great Tribulation, is really a culmination of prophecy from the beginning of time. And it leads to the completion of all things. So we rejoice in that God's word is fulfilled. But for the purposes of this message, we're going to talk about tribulation as in difficult times. So if we go to the word and we look up tribulation, we can find it about 22 times, I think, as tribulation. But it's also translated as affliction, oppression, distress, burdened, oppressed, suffer, narrow, like it's, when the Lord was talking about the rich man, and it's easier to go through the narrow gate, or the camel to go through the eye of the needle, that narrow space that they're having to go through, that's what he's referring to. A throng, as when the people pressed him, and they were pressing all around, and the woman with the issue of blood reached out and touched his garment, that throng. That word is also tribulation. It has the same meaning, rather. And then, of course, referring to suffering tribulation on a personal level or within a church. We see this throughout the Old and the New Covenant scriptures. In the Hebrew, it's sarah, and in the Greek, it's thlibo as a verb and thlipsis as a noun. So we're going to talk more about thlipsis, which is used by John in Revelations 1:9, when he said, I, John, who also am your brother and companion in tribulation and in the kingdom and patience of Jesus Christ, was in the isle that is called Patmos for the word of God and for the testimony of Jesus Christ. John lived 2,000 years ago. He was a companion in tribulation, and in spite of the unbelievable persecution he endured, he was not in the Great Tribulation, but that he was about to reveal in the book of Revelation. And so, again, I'm working hard to drive the point home that we are in a time of tribulation, but we are not in the tribulation. And the reason for this is because it's really important that the people of God remain level-headed. Because our call is to preach the gospel. Our call is to intercede for the nations. Until we hear the trumpet sound, that's our call. And so to move into fear over events that are around us, prevents us from being level-headed. And the people of the earth need stable people to look to when crisis arises. Now more than ever, when we have such chaos, we need level-headed people that those who are in fear can look to find peace, to find stability. People with the answer. Who is our answer? Jesus. He is our answer. He is a stabilizing force for us. And we can show them that path if we ourselves are level-headed and remain fixed on the hope of our own eternal purpose. Okay, so what is tribulation? Thlipsis is pressure. It's what constricts or rubs together. It's used of a narrow place that hems someone in. Tribulation is especially internal pressure that causes someone to feel confined, restricted without any option out, is what this is talking about. When you talk about thlipsis, it carries the challenge of coping with the internal pressure of the tribulation, especially when feeling there's no way of escape or being very hemmed in. And so this is the tribulation that the Lord is showing me, a time of tribulation, a time of pressing together, a time of affliction, a time of oppression, a time of distress or being burdened. One that carries with it the challenge of coping with the internal pressure, as though you feel like there's no way of escape. And I can see how the Lord would point this out to me in this hour, because it's been a really rough, you know, several years. Even when President Trump first took office, it was a very rough time. We were very excited for what he was doing for our nation, but it was a very rough season because the persecution was rising, and they looked for every day they were attacking that man. And that man was just trying to open up our nation. He was just trying to pave a way for our nation to become oil independent. He was trying to pave a way to restore and strengthen America. He was trying to give the church back her freedom. There was so much that he was trying to do, and yet the media hammered him day in and day out. Once this illegal, illegitimate regime took office, you know, there was this great sense of oppression that set upon the nation. Like, how can we get out of this mess, really? How can we climb out of this pit? When you have those that are in such great power controlling elections, it's difficult to see how we can possibly get out of this mess. But God, truly, but God. And God has used this season to wake people up so that they will stand in the gap for the nation. So with that understanding, let's look at the first thing that the Lord pointed out, and that is, again, the tribulation. So the Lord is showing us the purpose of our national tribulation right now. And I want you to remember, according to that definition that I just shared, tribulation hems us in. It makes us feel restricted and without options. It carries that challenge of coping with the internal pressure of tribulation as though there is no way of escape. Yet times of tribulation accomplishes things in a nation. When, if you look at Daniel in Daniel chapter 9, and remember in Daniel chapter 9, he was repenting for the sins of the people in preparation for their release from the 70-year captivity when the Lord sent Gabriel to convey this important message about the purpose of tribulation. Daniel 9:24b tells us three things: that this season was to make an end of sins, it was to make reconciliation for iniquity, and it was to bring in everlasting righteousness. So he uses this to show us that a season of tribulation can bring an end to sin. What sin? So much sin in our nation, but in particular to bring an end to bloodletting. Abortion and human trafficking have both been exposed in this season of national tribulation, far above what we've ever seen before. They are multi-billion dollar industries, multi-billion dollar industries. And the roar of the people against bloodletting is rising. Why? Because there are crimes against humanity, and people are waking up to the truth of that. The second thing, God is using this season to make reconciliation for iniquity. In other words, to bring his people back to him. Sin separates us from God. You know, we often cry out for God's protection, but if we are in sin, he can't protect us. We pray Psalms 91 over our lives, but if we are in sin, we cannot be under the shelter of his wing. Why? Because sin separates us from God. So how do we get reconciled to him? Through repentance. And I believe that God is calling the church in particular. I know the intercessors have been engaging in this, and we have been repenting and repenting for 24 years now. We've been repenting. But God is calling the church back to a place of prayer. Why? To restore the relationship. We, the church, are the heart of a nation. And we've got to remain a house of prayer if we're to see our nation reconciled to God. Daniel was a man of righteousness, a man of prayer. Nothing stopped him from his prayer life. Not a king, not his adversaries, and not the lions. He knew his commission was to stand in the gap for Israel throughout their captivity. And if we, the people today, follow his example as the church, we've got to repent for our apathy and our compromise and return to our original intent to be the house of prayer, to stand in the gap for the nation, to be the example to the nation of what it means to be reconciled to God. To be the house of prayer we were created to be. The church has been a den of thieves and entertainment, but God is using the national tribulation that we're seeing to provoke pastors and leaders to call their people to repent and return to their call to prayer. I've seen pastors from the pulpit calling their people back to the prayer meetings. Even telling them that is the lowest attended meeting of the week. And the pastor calling the people back to prayer. He said it should be many of them, and I've heard them say it should be our most well attended meeting of the week. This is an important shift in our nation. A reconciliation to God. And the third thing, God is using this season of tribulation to bring in righteousness. You know, God is dealing with DC. As I shared a couple weeks ago in the message on the chaos and the intercessor and the 10 explosions within the church, and that transcription went out this week, and it's up on our website. You can listen to it as well. As the people of the land rise up and roar toward D.C., God will move mountains to lift the decay and corruption off D.C. and make a way for the new breed of politicians, those loyalists who will stand up for America. Politicians are certainly not pastors, but those that work on a political level should be working to return us to God's plans and purposes for our nation. Their efforts should return us to the constitutional republic of our founding fathers. Those precepts, truly, that our founding fathers laid out for us in those founding documents. As far as the citizens of our nation, God is waking them more and more every day. And again, I spoke on this in greater detail last time, so you can read that or go listen to that message on the website. Okay, so the second thing is the overcomer. So we're going to look at the overcomer according to this word, Philippians. Tribulation, remember, hems us in. It makes us feel restricted and without options. It carries the challenge of coping with the internal pressure of tribulation as though there's no way of escape. Why is this so important that we understand that? Because God understands where we are. He understands the physical struggles that we're going through. He understands the emotional struggles that we're going through. He understands the persecution we may be going through, even with our families. God understands it all. He understands it. And something is being done in the life of the intercessor through this season. The intense pressure that we experience serves a purpose. Some of it, like I just said, is personal, but some of it is a higher purpose. Romans 5:3 tells us that tribulation works out patience, experience, and hope within the believer. These are the opposite of fear, the opposite of apathy, and the opposite of discouragement. And there is a challenge by the Lord even now to work to overcome those internal pressures that we feel of discouragement, fear, and apathy, and continue to stand our ground. I would also encourage you, if you're experiencing these things, to ask yourself, is this my discouragement, fear, or apathy? Or am I living in intercession for those around me who are feeling that sense of discouragement, fear, or apathy? When we know which it is, we can pray accordingly. If we're experiencing that, we should enter into praise. Give praise to our King. If it's intercession for another person, or maybe your neighborhood, or maybe your church, then you can pray that God will encourage and bring hope where they feel hopeless. You can pray to contradict these things if you know which it is. Is it you or is it those around you you're interceding for? We learn from Revelation 2, verses 8 through 11, in the message of John to Smyrna, that enduring tribulation faithfully produces produces a sweet fragrance unto the Lord and results in the crown of life. Smyrna was where they produced myrrh. But the Christians there, once a person became a Christian, they were ostracized by the community. Many of them lived in abject poverty, even though Smyrna itself was a very wealthy community. But because they were ostracized, no one would buy from them, no one would sell to them, and they had to rally together to survive. It was the only church of the seven churches that the Lord spoke to John about that he did not have a complaint about, a correction, because they had pressed through and they had remained faithful in the midst of their tribulation. Tribulation and affliction and persecution, all of this can keep us focused on the momentary affliction that we're in. But is it possible that God is calling us to something higher? Is it possible he's calling us to learn to rise above the momentary afflictions and remain focused on the commission that he has on our lives? You know, I know that there's times that the enemy comes in like a flood with one attack after another, and it's really all to keep us distracted from our calling to the nation. I've experienced that myself, and I'm not going to try to diminish any personal suffering that a person goes through. I've certainly had my fair share. I've watched my mom go through unbelievable personal suffering, but she continues to teach us the criticality of pressing through to the call for the nation. As overcomers, we've got to recognize the weight of the next 6 months. It's not going to lift. We have to buckle up. We have to. And I know this sounds a little bit like, okay, wait. I thought this was going to be exciting. This is an exciting thing. What God is doing through the intercessors is amazing. Remember the vision he gave me that I shared at the beginning? And what I'm about to share with you, I'm telling you, it is a tool for us as intercessors in our fight for our states. So I just want to say, I believe the Lord is calling us to go higher. He's calling us to a higher place in Him. He really is. And there are those I speak with that tell me that as hard as things are around them, their spirit is strong. They feel closer to God than they ever have before. As difficult as everything, you know, that is beyond their literal hand's reach is, they feel closer to God than they ever have in their lives. He is calling us to a higher place in Him. And it's important for the work He's wanting us to do in the next few months. So when I think about those SEAL Team 6 warriors from that vision, they were peering through that temporal shaking that was over the nation. And they could clearly see the eternal purpose of the season that we're in. When the call came, they jumped into action, and they seemed to be functioning on that higher level that I was just talking about. They were overcomers. They had a greater call and a purpose in the path of overcoming. And that call was to be a trailblazer. And I believe this is where God is taking us. We have a great need for us as intercessors to overcome in order to blaze the trail for the next generation. You know, the Samuel generation needs us to carve out this trail. They need us to carve it out, because when we pass the baton to them, they're going to run. And so my mom has talked about this in the past, is the things that she has endured and the blazing the trail of identificational repentance over the nation. She has blazed a trail for others to follow. And I think about other prayer ministries that are popping up, that are engaging in strategic intercession over their areas. You know, this is because people said yes and were willing to blaze the trail ahead of time. What you're doing is paving the way for the next generation. It's important work. So the next thing are the cords and their purpose. So the cords that the overcomers, as they came out of their house, remember, and they hooked it on, and they rappelled down from the surface to the tectonic plates. There is a key here, because We're in the year of liberty. God is doing a mighty work to set us free from the hand of the cabal. And in this process of our prayers, and in this process not only of our prayers over the nation, but at the prayers at the state level, we've got to start engaging to reclaim our nation for the kingdom of heaven. The cords had three strands, and I believe the key is in these three points that the Lord gave me as I thought him about those strands. The first one is the anchor of God to the land. And I'm going to talk more about each of these, but I just want to give these three to you. The anchor of God to the land. The second one is our freedom to worship him. It's our freedom to worship him. And the third one is the destiny of America. So the first one, we've got to reconnect the anchor of God to the land. So what does that mean? Did you know that every state in the union contains in their state constitution references to God or the divine? When our state constitutions were written, the founders understood the providential hand of God upon this nation and incorporated him as the anchor in their state constitutions. Connecticut was one of the strongest, and I'm going to use this one for example because as I was going through them, I thought this one is so powerful. In fact, it's so powerful that our founders used the constitution, the state constitution of Connecticut, as a template as they wrote our U.S. Constitution. Within its pages, it has tremendous anchoring of God to the land. We've got Massachusetts and North Carolina. They're also very strong. They lead the charge, actually, in the most mentions to God. I think they have 12 or 13 mentions anchoring the state, the citizens, to God. That is a prophetic decree right there. Hundreds of years ago, a decree written giving the state to God, honoring him as a state, and linking the citizens of that state to the covenant with God. That's a powerful thing. The cabal has done everything that they can to remove God from this nation. And they often claim, you know, separation of church and state as the reason for that move. However, but this was not God's plan, and it was not our founding fathers' plan. They had no intention to remove God from government. The intent was to prevent a corrupt government from rising and forcing a religion upon the people. The need to have godly people influence the government and the laws of the land was of the utmost importance in the development and establishment of these United States. The cabal spent the last 100 years roundabout trying to unhook the cords anchoring each state to the covenant God has with our nation. We as intercessors need to reclaim the original intent in our founding documents and re-anchor our states to God. It's covenant, and God is a God of covenant. So the second thick cord that I saw, it's our freedom to know and freely worship God. From the youngest to the oldest, this is a key issue that our founding fathers and those who wrote state constitutions considered, those who even passed legislation. In 1647, Connecticut and then Massachusetts also passed the Old Deluder Satan Law. The Old Deluder Satan Law. Why? What was this law about? It was passed to prevent illiteracy and to prevent the abuse of power over a population ignorant of scriptures, as had been the case in Europe. The law states, and I quote, it being one of the chief projects of that old deluder Satan to keep men from the knowledge of the scriptures as in former time. It is therefore ordered that after the Lord hath increased the settlement to the number of 50 householders, they shall forthwith appoint one within their town to teach all such children as shall resort to him to write and to read. That is quite the strand of cord, isn't it? And do you know what they learned to read and write from? The Bible. If you look at old primary readers, you will see A is for Adam. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. In the beginning, God formed Adam out of the earth and breathed his breath of life in him. This is where God wants to return us at the state levels. Legislation requiring all children to learn to read, to prevent deception from Satan the deluder. Let that sink in. They're trying to pass laws that will allow them to take children from parents that refuse to get gender transition therapy for their children. 7, 8, 9-year-olds. They want to take them and put them in foster care. That's what this current mess is trying to pass. But in the beginning of our nation, they passed legislation entitled Old Deluder Satan Law. And they called him out for what he was, a deluder. And that deluder today is trying to delude us, the people of this country, into adhering to unbelievable compromise and subjecting our children out of fear of losing them into a deception? I don't think so. I don't think so. Not as long as God has his SEAL Team 6 stationed in these states. They may be trying to pass that legislation now, but God is going to overturn it. And he's going to use you, and he's going to use us to do it. The leaders back then sought to form a nation wherein we would have the freedom to know God on a personal level without restrictions from government or any other authority. Europe felt they could maintain better control of the people to increase the church's power if the people could not read. Our founders experienced firsthand the impact of this on their lives and sought to implement laws to protect us and anchor us to God. Let me tell you, they had no intention of there being a separation between church and state. What they wanted was to keep government from controlling people and their religion. But the church, if they are not influencing the government, the world is. If the church isn't influencing the school, the world is. If the church isn't influencing businesses, just like Daryl talked about with Target, the world is. The church must arise. And I believe the church is arising. And it's because the people of God have prayed. SEAL Team 6 is on the line. It's been a long battle. But SEAL Team 6, God's highest level of warriors, is on the line. He sees you. He sees your battles. And he has prepared you for this hour. He's calling us all to set aside the distractions the enemy brings our way and to focus, see through it, and focus on the eternal purpose that he set before us. We're fighting for the next generation. Number three in that cord is the destiny of America. I've talked about this, so I'm going to go briefly. What's the destiny of America? There's four things. America is to be a father to the nations. That's God-given destiny for America. That's what I'm going to share with you. We're to be a father to the nations. We're to raise up the nations to be God-fearing nations. Number two, we're to be a place from which the gospel can pour out onto all the earth. We're to be the example as a father to the nation, and we are to preach the gospel and release the gospel and spread the gospel onto all the earth. Number three, we're to be a place of refuge. And God will use this. America will be one of the last to fall in the tribulation, the great tribulation. We're to be the place of refuge. And I know I'm as frustrated as everybody else about these people coming across our border because I see what they're trying to do with our country. But let me tell you, how about we pray for a revival? God's going to move and we're going to get the criminals out. But let me tell you, we need to be praying for a revival among those people. We need to pray for revival while they're here. Pray that God will get a hold of them. And even if they get sent back, pray that they'll take the Spirit of the living God with them and spread the revival into their nations. While they're here, let them find God. While they're here, let God change them, transform them from within. Let us, the people, pray that God will meet them and overpower any negative intent that they have upon our nation. Number four, we're called to stand with and protect Israel. These are the reasons. God, and in his infinite wisdom, through a sequence of events, from the prayers of Count Zinzendorf in Germany to the Reformation to the Great Awakening to the Revolution, God had a plan. He set in motion from the beginning of time for this country. The enemy has tried to diminish and derail this destiny for the last century, but God is reawakening us to our purpose in the earth. Every day, he's reawakening us. Do you know that the Great Awakening that swept across our land in the mid-1700s, prior to the American Revolution, is considered the most significant social, cultural, and religious upheaval in the British colonies before the war. The Great Awakening influenced our society from the top down and both directly and indirectly influenced the revolution that birthed this nation. This is not happenstance. This is intention. The awakening set us free from the bondage of Britain and anchored America to God. No wonder God is calling us to reconnect these cords in our states to him. Remember the intercessors? Remember the SEAL Team 6 that came out of their houses, went down into the crevice, took those cords and connected those tectonic plates to one another to bring stability in the midst of the shaking, in the midst of the tribulation? There's purpose in what God is doing in our lives. And there's much he's prepared us for. What I saw those overcomers doing was reclaiming the godly heritage that was sown into the states from the very beginning. They called forth the destiny of their state, and they called forth the destiny of our nation, that they would be fulfilled under God's design. They called forth the seeds of revival, the seeds of the great awakening to spring forth in the land. So your mission, my friends, my brothers and sisters, my SEAL Team 6 team, I know I said it twice, but it's worth it. It's worthy of a repeat. Your mission, if you choose to accept it, is to research these things in your states and repent where the current regimes have overridden these laws and their intents, and reconnect these three strands, these cords, in your states. You know, Joel's army, when you join Joel's army and we connect you with intercessors, wherever there is a state coordinator, they meet. Some of them meet every week. Some of them meet twice a month. Some of them meet once a month. But they meet to pray over the state level and the state issues. Consider going to the Joel's Army page of our website, worldforjesus.org, and filling out an application. Be a part of what God is doing. They're going to love it because they don't know about this commission. They're finding out with you right now. Then the second part is we continue to pray this nation through this season of tribulation in such a way that it comes forth as a sweet-smelling fragrance unto the Lord, a nation that rises up as the Father to the nations, spreads the gospel, remains that place of refuge, and continues to stand with and protect Israel. In closing, I want to share, in our May gathering last year, I had a vision of the American flag hanging upside down. For those of you that were with us, you will remember that. And when you see the American flag hanging upside down, it represents a nation in distress. And we truly have been. And the Lord told me at that time we were a nation in distress. Today, Justice Alito spoke about the American flag that's outside his home because it too is hanging upside down. He knows what it means. We are indeed a nation in distress. But just as the Lord promised at that GOE, when the work is finished, our flag will indeed be turned around by the hand of the Lord, and it will fly with strength and vigor once again. And that flag, oh glory, that represents a stand against tyranny, will send shockwaves of fear in the heart of the cabal. Because as the hammer of justice comes down, and we're passing through the seasons right now where God's hammer of justice is coming down, as the hammer of justice comes down, the fear of God is going to return to our nation. And when that happens, just like the Israelites as they wandered in the desert, just like Abraham as he traversed across the land with his own family, he was claiming that land for his lineage because it was promised by God to him and his lineage. The Bible says that the fear of God fell upon all those around him. They feared to touch Abraham. They feared to touch the Israelites when they were wandering in the desert for 40 years. When the Israelites crossed the Jordan and began to enter the promised land, the fear of God fell upon that land. Every single person. Why? Because when the favor of God is upon you, and when you are functioning under the fullness of the destiny that God has placed upon a nation, and you are taking a stand against tyranny, I'm telling you, God protects the land because the fear of God, when the people honor God, the fear of God falls upon any and all who would try to harm her. You are SEAL Team 6. You are those who bring stability to the nation in time of tribulation. Stay the course. And if you are not and have not filled out an application and joined Joel's Army to become a part of the state prayer networks, I strongly encourage you to take that step. It's free, and we even send you material. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you. I thank you for this vision. I thank you for the things, Lord God, that you saw fit to reveal in this hour. I thank you for the warriors that do not let up in this fight. I thank you for those that you're going to bring into the battle with us, oh God, as over the course of the next several months, we uproot what the enemy has done and we reconnect and re-engage in that covenant with you. Our states reconnecting, oh God, to that covenant with you. I ask, oh God, that you would honor the decisions that are being made to get in the fight. I ask, oh God, for those that are in the fight, that you would just bring forth revelation, divine revelation, bring forth research necessary, that we can repent at the state levels and that we can find those pieces of legislation like that old deluder, the devil legislation. And we can reconnect these things, Lord God, anchoring our state back in covenant with you. Let this time, O Lord, of difficulty, great difficulty, let this time, O God, be used, this time of pressing be used to create a nation that is a sweet fragrance unto you, a nation that is a father to the nations, a nation that spreads the gospel, a nation that is indeed a refuge nation, and a nation that stands by the covenant to protect Israel. Father God, let us fulfill the destiny . Let us, O God, become that nation that when that flag unfurls and waves so proudly, represents a stand against tyranny. And Lord God, let the fear of a holy God fall not only, Lord God, upon our nation, but upon the people. Let our hearts be gripped with that reverential awe and fear of the Lord. And let that ripple across the nations of God in the coming months and even years. Because the awakening is here. And that awakening, oh man, what it's going to bring to the nations of the earth will be so powerful, so profound. Let it be, oh God. Let it be. Let it be. In your name I pray. Amen.